I'm in Seoul in South Korea, in the Renaissance Hotel in Gangnam District, made famous by the song Gangnam Style. I've just been out running. The weather's just wonderful, cool. It's been raining all night. It's starting to get a bit hot when I came back. Just slightly humid, but it could not be better. Painkillers seemed to help me get to sleep last night with my back. I slept fairly comfortably. Got up early this morning and took some half an hour before I went out running. So the plan today is to meet Stephanie Ferguson at 9 o'clock for coffee. I've seen where the conference centre is, so I can walk to that quite easily. Get up there, wander about, have lunch, probably come back to my room and do some work. And I've got dinner tonight with colleagues from Wiley Asia and Sue Torali, who edits the International Nursing Review. I'm sure that they said my breakfast was included, but I signed for it this morning. I hope it's included because it was 40,000 Korean won, which is equivalent precisely to £24, which is a lot of money for breakfast, given that I don't eat very much of it. If it's not included, I certainly won't be having it tomorrow. I'll go out and find a coffee shop. Then I got my boarding passes printed. Cathay Pacific frequent flyers can print them off 48 hours in advance, which is great. Most other airlines, including BA, it's only 24 hours in advance. I'm not sure what it is for frequent flyers. And I was flying with some other airline the other day. I can't actually recall who it was, and they wouldn't let me print them off at all. But they're all printed off, and there's nothing quite like having a hard copy of your boarding passes in your briefcase before you set off. Seems strange to have them printed off and ready to go, and I haven't even been to the conference yet. But I like to make sure I'm going to get home. The best flights by far are the ones home. Despite my love of travelling, I also can't wait to get home. And I'm only home for a few days next week before I head off to Sydney again. So a little while ago, I meet Stephanie Ferguson. Stephanie is someone I met through the GAPFON, the Global Advisory Panel on the Future of Nursing meetings. She's the facilitator, and I think this is what she does for a living. I think she does have some kind of academic foothold in one university, but she does an inordinate amount of travelling, puts me to shame, and is a fantastic facilitator of meetings and a very influential figure in global nursing, in the ICN and the World Health Organization and such like. And I know that she's one of the, despite not being a Roman Catholic, is one of the present Pope's advisor on health and nursing, which is a very prestigious position to hold. Something she can't tell us anything about because these meetings are entirely confidential. And apparently the Pope very quickly makes his mind up who's useful and who isn't. And if you're not useful, you don't get invited back. And she has been. Anyway, I look forward to catching up with Stephanie over coffee and finding out what's going on around the world. She's incredibly good value for money. I had coffee as planned with Stephanie Ferguson downstairs in the foyer of the hotel, because I'm back in my room now, having been down to the conference. Always good to catch up with Stephanie. And Stephanie's got various roles. She runs her own consultancy company, as I said, but she is a fairly senior person in the ICN, and not quite sure how to describe her role, but she looks after protocol at meetings, keeps the chairman and the chief executive on the right lines. So always good to catch up with her. Known her for a couple of years, and I know about forthcoming changes at the ICN, which are not public yet, so I won't mention specifically what they are here, but it's good to have these things in advance. She approached me about doing an editorial on some work she's doing with colleagues from the WHO, and I said I welcome that with open arms. So they've got plans to submit an editorial to the Journal of Advanced Nursing. And while I'm sitting with Stephanie, of course, she knows everyone who's passing, so I met a great many other people, too many to remember. And then as we were sitting there, I noticed Frank Schaefer walking across the foyer of the hotel to a meeting with one of his colleagues. Frank is someone I met in Washington, D.C. when I first was elected, 2007, I think that was, to the American Academy of Nursing as a fellow. And I've seen him every time I've been back there since, kept in touch with him. Very nice guy. And that's an email coming in on my laptop. He's head of the CGFNS, just off the top of my head. I can't remember what that stands for, but it's the body which sets what used to be, anyway, a multiple choice exam for becoming a registered nurse in the USA. I sat it many years ago. I remember doing it in, of all places, there's another email, of all places, a hotel room in Glasgow. And passing the test and being told that I would be eligible to work in the United States at a particular hospital, but we didn't go, obviously. Then I met, then I went down to the conference by taxi with Frank and a couple of colleagues. It couldn't be easier to get to the conference centre. I ran there this morning. It was literally out of the hotel, turned left and straight down the road. You just can't go wrong. However, the taxi driver didn't have a clue where we were going and dropped us off at the back of this place, but had to be directed there by my colleagues. Found that pretty extraordinary. So I've been to the conference, as usual. It's a huge conference centre, absolutely enormous, multiple sessions going on, actually very few people walking around because most people are involved in something or other. Got registered, got my badge, and then my first stop was the Wiley stand to speak to colleagues from Wiley Asia Pacific. So Peter Odonia from the Melbourne office is there. I know Peter very well from originally from the last time I was in South Korea, but I've also met with him in Singapore, and another colleague of his, a Japanese colleague, and the current editor of what I think is the Journal of Nursing Science, the International Journal of Nursing Science. It's a Wiley journal which is published by a university in Japan and used to be edited by Sue Torale, who was also based in Japan. She's Australian and she now edits International Nursing Review, and she's organising our dinner tonight to be funded by Wiley Asia Pacific. After that, I was I'd already bumped into Jim Buchan from Edinburgh, or who I know from Edinburgh. Come back to him in a second. I then met Anne Waugh from Edinburgh Napier University. She's a mutual colleague of Graham Smith and mine, and I'd not met Anne before, possibly in passing, but Anne is a fellow life science student who went into nursing, and she was a year ahead of me at the University of Edinburgh. We never met there. And we've got another connection in that when I was appointed to the University of Edinburgh in 1989, I was appointed to the Kathleen Wilson Lectureship. And I was appointed to the University of Edinburgh then specifically because I had a degree in biology and I was a nurse. There were very few of us around. And I had enough research experience and clinical experience to get the job. I'd done some writing and publishing. And I'm sure that if Nikki Cullum listens to these podcasts, Dame Nikki Cullum, as she is now, she won't mind me saying that we were head-to-head for the job, which I got. Nikki always jokes that she's never forgiven me since, but I'm sure she has. And anyway, Anne and I have a mutual colleague and a mutual interest in teaching biology to nursing students. So we had a long talk about that. And the point regarding Anne is that she's one of the editors of what used to be Rawson Wilson's Anatomy and Physiology for Nurses. This is an absolutely iconic and probably seminal book in the teaching of life sciences to nursing students, which was really the only one around, certainly when I was a student. I didn't actually have a copy. I had a degree in biological sciences, but every other nurse used it. It's sold widely, made the authors and the publishers a fortune. And when I was appointed to the Kathleen Wilson Lectureship, the agreement was that I would take on the new edition along with Kathleen Wilson, because Ross was, I think, no longer involved with the book. And this started fairly well. I was wined and dined and looked after well and met regularly with Kathleen Wilson, and we got on very well. I made a start to the book, and the first time we actually met to discuss the writing, there were pretty glum faces around the table, and Kathleen wasn't very pleased with the way I'd written something, and I can't really remember exactly what the problem was. It seemed fairly minor and correctable to me. I think there was something about the use of the passive tense, a simple editing problem, but this was blown out of all proportion. It was one of these meetings, I've had many of them in my life, which got my blood up, as it were. And I think the other difficulty was that Ross and Wilson's Anatomy and Physiology for Nursing Practice, or for nurses, I can't remember exactly what it was called, wasn't an anatomy and physiology book, because Kathleen Wilson was a trained anatomist and a nurse, and it just contained anatomy. There was hardly any useful physiology in it at all, and I was writing it from a different perspective, and I think essentially she just wanted the same book written with very minor changes. So suddenly I was dropped from the project, and I was very angry about it. And I actually, because I'd already signed a contract and had done a considerable amount of work, I took the publishers, it was Churchill Livingstone at the time, I took them to task about them, threatened them with legal action. I'm not sure exactly what legal action I could have taken, and I can't remember how much money I got, but I remember my wife and I thinking it was a substantial sum at the time, and I ever since regretted not asking for more. I had no regrets whatsoever in taking that action, and I swore I would never work with Churchill Livingstone Publishers again. And I didn't for a very long time. However, another book that I did for what was then Harcourt Brace Jovanovic, and then that became part of the Elsevier stable, and this linked up with Churchill Livingstone meant that I did have to work with them again. So I suppose one should never say never, but the personnel were pretty different by that stage, and I had been compensated and I'd got it out of my system. However, Anne Waugh was the editor who then took over, and took over very successfully, and the book is still going and selling very well, and I'm very pleased about that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But I never actually got to the bottom of the reason why I was dropped. I got the impression that Kathleen Wilson thought I wasn't a good writer and that I'd never make a writer. And, well, maybe she's right. It seems that the emails just keep coming in. So then I went back up to the conference centre, to the exhibition, and I met someone from an organisation called Doctors Against the Forced Organ Harvesting, DAFO. I was just having a look around the exhibition, and I saw the stand, hadn't a clue what it was. It didn't say Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, it just said www.dafo.org. So I just walked past, assuming it was some other organisation that I wouldn't be interested in, and a young lady came and asked me, with a leaflet in her hand, had I heard of it. So I had to say no, and she explained what it was about, gave me some very interesting literature. And this is concerned with what happens in mainland China, where there's an extraordinary number of organ transplants done, and essentially more than you would expect. And it takes an extraordinarily short period of time to have an organ, and it's not just in China, but these are actually exported around the world for profit. And essentially it's prisoners who are used. Now China have made no secret of the use of executed prisoners for organ harvesting. That in itself, of course, is utterly abhorrent, but it appears that if the literature here and the figures are true, and it's got a good provenance, and the people who are involved seem to have reasonable pedigrees, that there's actually forced executions of, well, executions are always forced, but executions of prisoners of conscience, and it's just done to order. And so they've been here to try and convince the ICN to make nurses aware of this. It seemed that if I got it right, the WHO had passed resolutions on this, but that the United Nations hadn't. Of course, China's and the United Nations, it might be quite difficult. but there was a petition there to sign, and I rarely sign petitions, but I thought, well, I know what the issue is, even if all these figures are not correct or exaggerated in any way, the execution of one prisoner for organ donation is utterly abhorrent. So I signed the petition, which is designed to put some pressure on the United Nations to take some action. I'm sure that some of my colleagues who do listen to this in China, by getting onto my Facebook through a virtual private network and seeing the links there, will hear this, and whether or not they're aware of all this, I've got no idea. But if it's the truth, then I've got no problem in including it in my podcast, and I will mention it in my STTI blog as well. And I've followed them on Twitter at DAFOH, and I've also linked up to them on Facebook. So I'll be interested to follow this over the months ahead. I'd already bumped into Jim Buchan, but I was planning to walk back to the hotel where I am now to do some work for the afternoon, and I bumped into Jim again, and Jim was heading back to the same hotel, so we walked back. It took us half an hour and had a good catch-up with Jim. Jim used to be at Queen Margaret University, Queen Margaret College as was, in Edinburgh. He's one of the world's leading investigators into the healthcare workforce, and certainly the world's leading investigator of the nursing workforce, not just nationally but internationally. He's now based in Melbourne, and he's edited special editions of the Journal of Clinical Nursing when I edited, and also the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and contributed many excellent editorials. And I appointed him to the Lancet Commission, and he was saying he had heard from the Lancet Commission about the work and that it was still continuing. So it's very good to catch up with Jim. So I'm back in my room for a couple of hours' work before I head back down to the conference for dinner with my wily Asia-Pacific colleagues. I've been for dinner with colleagues from wily Asia-Pacific. Dinner was hosted by Peter Adonia from the Melbourne office, who I've met before in Seoul, actually, and also in Singapore and Hong Kong. Other people at the dinner were Sue Turali, who's the editor of the International Nursing Review. She works here in Seoul now. She was there with her daughter Megan, who's a nurse in Australia. And other people at the dinner were Pam Mitchell from the University of Washington School of Nursing. I've known Pam since my early days as a fellow of the American Academy of Nursing. And also Teresa Stone was there, who now edits Nursing and Health Sciences. This is the journal that Sue Turali used to edit, and it's based in Japan. And also somebody I haven't met before, Marcia Petrini, who's the head of nursing in Wuhan University in China, and she's from the United States. So it was a very interesting dinner, interesting array of Korean food, some I liked, some I didn't. I have to say, on balance, I didn't like it, but luckily there were a few bottles of beer to wash it down. It was good company and good fun. A complete farce getting there. There are two intercontinental hotels here, one at either end of the conference centre that we're at, and of course I went to the wrong one, convinced I was in the correct one, only to find out I wasn't. And I was told by the man at the front desk of the one I was in it would take 30 minutes to walk to the other one. In fact, it would have taken me about 5 minutes, and he advised me to get a taxi, so I got a taxi, and that took me about 1 minute. Cost me 300 Korean won. Met up with colleagues, and then we were not quite ready to go. We're still waiting for someone else to come. But then when everybody was assembled, Sue Turali had an idea of a restaurant that we should go to, and one of her students had arranged for us to have a table there. And like everything else in the Far East and Southeast Asia, it took an inordinate length of time to sort this out with the people at the front of the hotel, the concierge, finding out where it was, how we'd get there. Everything just seems to be so complicated. Nobody seems to know in Seoul where anything is. Eventually we had to get two taxis. They both arrived, and the one we got into, the driver had not got a clue where we were going, even when he was shown the map. and the driver behind took almost as long to work it out, but he then decided he knew, overtook us, so we followed him. And this involved going somewhere near where the restaurant turned out to be, but going up a road that was being dug up for roadworks and which was actually closed. And the taxi just sat there until the guys moved all the barriers and things out of the way. We drove along this road, round the corner, and ended up at completely the wrong restaurant. And this restaurant turned out to be closed. One of our party asked somebody locally where the restaurant was, because we had it on a piece of paper, and they showed us where it was, and we found it further down the road. And in fact, we could have walked from the hotel we were in about 5 to 10 minutes tops. Absolutely ridiculous. And of course, the taxis could have more easily than anything dropped us off right at the front of either of the restaurants, the wrong one or the right one, by just going along the road and turning around and coming back again. I just cannot understand why things turn out in such a complicated fashion. However, it turned out to be a good night, and the choice for getting home was walking or taking a taxi, and given the taxi experiences and my guess that I was reasonably close to where we were, which turned out to be correct, we were just next to the conference centre anyway, I walked home. So that was a good evening, and tonight I've been catching up on Facebook and WhatsApp and WeChat and all the various ways of keeping in touch with people, and I find out that Sally Chan from Newcastle University in New South Wales is here. I thought I'd missed her, so I'm going to meet her tomorrow. And I'm also hoping to meet the head of the Nursing Association from Nepal. Her name is Tara, and she's here as well. I only discovered she was here because Stephanie Ferguson showed me a photograph of her getting an award, so I'm with her on LinkedIn, so I've contacted her, and she's going to at least say hello tomorrow. But the plan tomorrow is to run, pack up, check out, and then leave my bag here, go to the conference centre to attend a debate at